Hello and welcome to Overburdened, the podcast for postal workers. I'm Brandy Hughes.
And I am Kevin Hitchings. Today we're going to talk about what Canada Post and the Building Community Power campaign we had a while ago called Senior Check-ins. This is something that happens in France and Japan and a few other countries. They call it different things, and I think if it ever became reality here, we would call it something different. Because what this basically is postal workers stopping on the routes just to check in on people in need. And the reason I think they might change it is because in other countries, they check in on people for a variety of reasons, medical issues, disabilities, special needs, anything, anywhere where you might need someone just to stop in and see how you're doing every once in a while. And even people that just feel isolated, really, you can check in, just say hi, see how you're doing, and just provide a point of contact. So in the Building Community Power campaign, it was focused on seniors, but really could be anybody who just needs someone to stop in and say hi or check on them once in a while.
Yeah, there's all kinds of groups that would need that. And maybe it's that you just had surgery or that you just had a new baby, or maybe even it's a young person who recently moved out on their own, or someone who's struggling with mental health and their family just wants to know that they're taking their medication and that they're okay. Like, there could be all kinds of uses for it. I find it really interesting, the concept of what different services could be offered along with check-in. And some of them are delivery related, like the delivery of groceries or prescriptions.
Yeah. In the other countries that I've read about, they always talk about letter carriers, essentially. But I see one of the needs here would be people in rural communities, especially in Saskatchewan, where they killed the bus service and a lot of seniors are having real trouble getting to medical appointments and stuff. You know, this wouldn't help them get their appointments, but it would help them communicate better and find out. In one of these articles that I was looking, they actually have a picture of a PDT, which they don't talk about that I saw, but they have a picture of it. And it's just when you get to a place, you see this thing. Do you have any messages that you'd like to pass your doctor? Yes or no. If they have a yes, they could type in their message, and it's just another point of communication there. And they could determine whether they need to go in or not if they're questioning it. Same thing, is there anything you need to help with your groceries or house maintenance? And of course, the Postal Service wouldn't be providing house maintenance, likely.
That makes me question why Amazon hasn't made this app yet. Yeah. So they can promote stuff to seniors. One of the other things about the programs focused on seniors is that they designed the tablets to have larger buttons and stuff, so they're easier with large labels, so they're easier for yeah. seniors to use.
Yeah, it's quite big, and this would just be putting them in contact with people. We definitely wouldn't want to replace medical services, and we're definitely not nurses going to people's houses. We're not replacing home care. It's just to stop in and check, and do we need to send one of these services to the people, you know, or have someone arrange for them to get to these services.
Yeah, and even if it's just something that triggers their doctor to phone them or the public health nurse to schedule a visit, it still could, well, it can stop them from having something that's minor turn into something more complicated that might mean that they're not living on their own anymore. They might have to move into a group home, or perhaps they'll be permanently injured or have their quality of life damaged, or, you know, perhaps they'll even die of whatever nobody noticed because they live on their own and no one's checking on them.
Yeah, this is one of the big things they do in Japan. They call it lonely deaths, I think, was the phrase they use. Where people pass away, and I'm not sure why it happens there or what the difference in the culture there is, but sometimes it can be weeks before anyone ever realizes that someone has passed away. And it's not just that you don't want them sitting that long before they're discovered, but what medical attention or what check-in could we have gotten to prevent this in the first place?
Yeah.
So this is not a new concept. It's been around for at least a decade in Japan. France has had it for quite a while. And even in Canada, in Prince Edward County in Ontario, they've been doing this since the mid-80s. I think it was 85 they've been doing this. So it's not a new concept. And obviously, it's been working somewhat because it's still going.
It's called their Letter Carrier Alert Program.
Yeah, Letter Carrier Alert. So it's something that's definitely feasible here, something that Canada Post, in at least a limited capacity, has experience with. And you got to kind of question why it stayed so isolated for so long. I imagine there'd be some pushback from a lot of letter carriers. In theory, in the France program, it's a 5-minute time value, essentially, to check with people. Some people would have no problem with staying within their 5 minutes. Some people would have a lot of trouble limiting it to 5 minutes.
Yeah, and maybe that would also depend on the need of the customer, because if they saw someone who seemed extra lonely, they would feel more compelled to stay.
Yeah, depending on how empathetic you are to that situation.
Or maybe someone who they were having trouble discerning whether they were well or not.
I would imagine there's probably trouble with overtime too. If you put in 20 minutes of overtime because you spent some extra time, you'd be like, why did you spend the time? You're going to have to, or with a client, customer.
If she fed you cookies, how are you supposed to leave?
That's right. You don't have much choice.
And hot tea? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I'm sure that the corporation would freak out over the idea of us going inside people's homes. So it would be very unlikely that you'd be doing what they do in Japan, where they're going in and having tea and visiting.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be mostly at the door. If you got to the point where someone was not able to come to the door, I would think that would be outside our job description, I would think. Because if someone can't make it to the door but there's real mobility issues, that's where it goes straight to the home care, the nursing situation. But, you know, if you knock on the door, you know someone's supposed to be home and they're not, again, you would notify the nurse or how it would work.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't really got that level of detail here yet.
Well, I would think there's got to be some kind of no answer option. But at that point, what do you do? Do you investigate further? Do you carry on about your day? Do you, you know, like report it and get someone else to follow up? Like, how does that work?
I would guess what they would do is, and again, I don't know what they do in Ontario. I don't have a ton of detail on that. But I would guess what they would do is you'd hit a button in your alert and it would go to some kind of center. Who would probably have more contact options.
They'd probably try to phone or something.
Yeah. Or, yeah. You know, be in touch with the at-home nursing service in that area, or the authorities if needed.
I suppose. I think we would also run into issues where you would become aware that there might be a medical situation, like an emergency situation, where they might need immediate assistance. And say you're trained in first aid, do you go in because you think you can help, or do you stay out because the corporation would prefer that you did?
Well, this is something, you know, that's come up before. We've all heard stories of posties literally saving people's lives before.
For sure.
Because they get somewhere and they hear something or they know something's wrong.
And we'd rather save a life than find them dead next week, right?
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, posties have acted directly to save someone's life or just called the authorities and called 911 and had someone come. And this is already happening in a very limited sense. Some posties are more aware than others. And sometimes this just happens where, you know, if you've been on a road for a long time.
I feel that, you know, previously some seniors would get around this by being the kind of people who are always outside and would run into the postal worker and would strike up conversations. And you would get used to seeing those people on your regular daily route. And if one of them was missing, you would take note of it. And if they were missing for an extended period of time and they didn't tell you they were going to visit their son in, you know, Phoenix, then you would be alarmed, right? But this maybe is more effective for those seniors who are maybe less mobile or less willing to go out into the community. So they're not hanging out in the front yard. They're not walking to the corner store. They're like ordering in food and grocery deliveries and medications and whatever, and they're not seeing people other than that delivery guy.
Yeah. These are people who could perfectly well live in their home. Maybe they just have an occasional seizure or something, and, you know, and if they don't get help, they could be in real trouble in their house. They just need to be checked on once in a while to make sure they're still functioning properly in their lives.
None of us are getting any younger. I mean, if no one was checking on me, I could fall down my stairs and probably not survive.
Right. So
again, there could be some pushback from Posties. There's time values is the big thing. Some people just might not be comfortable with the whole idea. It is another service. One of the things is with Canada Post is always money. All we care about is money here. Not us, the corporation cares about is money a lot of the times. During the pandemic, we did lose quite a bit of money. Studies are upwards between $700 million in 2020 and around the $500 million mark, $550 in 22, or 20 and 21, sorry. And I know on this podcast, we've questioned losses. The numbers are kind of skewed, it would seem, and somewhat fabricated. And I doubt the losses are that big, just from corporations' past practice. But I also would find it surprising if we didn't lose money during the pandemic. We've all noticed mail volumes were down quite a bit. And we're apparently adding 170,000 new addresses a year. And if we're losing money per address, then, you know, it would make sense the losses would increase a bit.
I feel that there was an increase in parcel volumes, but I don't know if it translates into...
Well, the thing is with... not to get too far off topic, but the thing is with parcels versus letter mail is with letter mail, if you get one flat tainer with 200 letters in it, you're looking at an average of, you know, I know some of his business and different rates, but you're looking at an average of $1 per piece of mail. So if you get 300 letters in one flat tainer, that's $300.
I suppose.
You know, if you get a parcel that takes up the same space is that $300 letter tainer, it's $10.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so maybe parcel volumes up is not going to compensate for the letter mail.
Yeah, you need a lot more parcels, and despite the numbers we're seeing, I don't think it's enough.
Yeah, you need a ton. So, yeah, it doesn't really make sense. One of the reasons why Canada Post is always pushing the ad mail too, it's one of the things that does replace revenue for them because they make quite a bit of extra revenue on that.
Off our blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
And don't forget the paper cuts, but I guess that's the blood.
That's the blood.
Yeah.
So one of the ideas is that, again, senior check-in would replace some of this lost revenue that we're losing through the decline of letter mail. It would take a lot, even if it was $10 per visit, which would be a lot on a senior budget. That's the other thing. Is even though it would be people with disabilities and other issues, a lot of these people would be seniors on fixed incomes with other issues. Yeah. And it has to be very inexpensive.
Right? Well, maybe it could follow a plan like in France where they get 50% of the cost back, or was it Jersey or was it Japan where they got... Oh, Jersey Island had... 2 visits per week that were funded by the government.
Jersey Island is the one in the UK.
It's one of the Channel Islands in the UK.
So, yeah, the government would subsidize this in some places, but there is still a component to the resident.
I'm just thinking, good luck getting the prairie governments to fund this.
Well, again, governments care about money too, right?
But it's federal. It's federal, so we're fine.
Well, either way. But they'd have to do it in partnership with provincial governments, since healthcare is provincial.
Yeah.
So it depends whether you put this as a healthcare budget.
Don't call it healthcare. Yeah. They don't like that.
No, we'll get to that a little bit later, I think. But yeah, the jurisdiction can be sticky in Canada and all provinces. But unless it's fully subsidized, it would be a burden on the customer.
Yeah, you'd think.
So would this be cheaper than nurses checking in is what the provinces are going to think. But and where Canada Post is going to say, well, is this going to earn us more than the time value we lose for doing it? From a postal worker point of view, I'm more concerned with job security, because we all know that the government, conservative government mostly, wants to privatize us. And the more services we have and the more value to the community we have, the less likely that's going to happen. And I could definitely see if a lot of seniors really became dependent on this. And, you know, children of seniors, too. I don't go check on my mom every week. It would be nice if someone was checking on her.
In theory, they're the ones paying for the service.
Right. Well, maybe. Yeah. And
the loved ones.
You know, my mom lives on an acreage since my dad died. She's been alone. And someone checking in there would be a benefit to her all the time. So I could see a lot of people worrying about, you know, the postal workers check on my parent or sibling or whoever, who may not even live in the same province. And if Canada Post gets privatized, and that's not a big profit area, isn't going to go away. And we've all heard of private health care systems or private care homes and how poor the care can get there. It's like, well, Canada Post gets privatized.
They're doing it for profit.
Yeah. How bad are these tickets? How bad are these visits going to get cut? Like maybe instead of calling as soon as something's wrong, they're going to, you know, if something's wrong 2 or 3 days in a row, then call. Or, you know, instead of 5 minutes, you just have to wave through the window. If you see them, run away, because you don't want to spend more than 6 seconds. And you don't know what's happening, because that's what happens with privatization.
The other way that getting postal workers to do this work, to just check on people or deliver supplies and check on people or ask if they need more supplies, is that it's going to reduce the need for the healthcare workers to go there. And like, we all know that there's a shortage of all kinds of healthcare workers in our country. And whether you blame it on the brain drain where they're going somewhere else where there's more money, I think there's still quite a few that are known to go to the States because it's essentially for profit, right? But if we do it, then we reduce the load on those that are still here, and maybe that allows them to focus where they're needed and not just where they're needed to check. They're needed to actually provide medical care.
The other thing is, too, is since we're talking about revenue, is we could partner with companies like Amazon, like from one of these places that sends you full meals. We could partner with one of them. And when you go in to talk to a senior, it's like, hey, what do you need? What do you need? Food delivery, which of course we would be delivering, or do you need us to or help you order something? And just to make sure that they get what they need. And then Canada Post would of course be delivering. So we can kind of partner with one of these businesses to place orders, probably at, you know, get a special rate or whatever for check-in services. And then more things would be shipped to the seniors as they need them.
Yeah. It occurs to me that I could see people eventually, if this really caught on and the benefits were becoming apparent to people, I could see people buying it as a gift for someone. Like, mm-hmm. if you know that your cousin has been on the keto diet and you can order them keto meals to come to their house every so often, it's like a little treat. Hey, you don't have to cook on Thursday nights, and I got you the thing that meets your dietary restrictions. Or maybe they're diabetic, or maybe they, you know, they're trying to eat a reduced salt diet, or you know, whatever. And maybe there's a means for them to like fill out a survey and say what they like, mm-hmm. and then for their doctor or their nutritionist to work out what the meal plan is, and then it just gets shipped.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of people that can't leave their home so much, or that have memory issues and maybe get to the store and don't remember what they need. Now they don't have to. You're in their home, you're checking on things. And if they say, hey, I need this, would you like me to put in an order for that for you? Right? Yeah. And then Canada Post might take, you know, get 2% back from Amazon or whatever for doing that. Plus, they're going to ship it with Canada Post, or even if we get nothing, but just the shipping. It just adds some indirect revenue to the corporation. So that wouldn't hurt, and that's kind of a win-win for the customer and the corporation.
It might seem like it's kind of a hard sell sometimes when you're looking at how much the corporation seems to drag their feet on any ideas that we seem to put forward that would help with revenue streams. But maybe sometimes things like the pandemic, or in France, their Watch Over My Parents program began when there was a heat wave and people were worried about their parents that didn't live nearby. And so they started paying their postal workers to check on them. Like maybe next time we have some sort of catastrophe, that's when we should push it.
Well, yeah, during that pandemic when this started, a lot of people weren't even able to check on their parents because they didn't want to leave the house. They didn't want to expose their parents to anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's difficult to maybe drive across city, drive across province, to knock on the door and stand back 50 feet. You know, your parents aren't going to want to, you know, people that don't see their family that often aren't going to want to stand 50 feet back, but they still want contact with people. And the postal worker is kind of the in-between person. They can say hi, whatever. And it's tough sometimes. Like if before my dad passed, he was not in good health. And if I would have called him on the phone, I did call him on the phone, and he was 100% fine. Everything's great. But then when I go over there and see him in person, it was very obvious right away things were not great, you know? So, you know.
Some people are good at acting.
Yeah, well, you can, there's a difference between seeing somebody and just hearing somebody. Like,
yeah, that's true.
There are people will say, well, you can phone and you can check in. But, you know, if they're in a state where maybe they can't clean their house or something like that, you're standing at the door. And if you're used to something, you can see that things are not right. You know, things have fallen over, things are smelling funny or whatever. That's something you don't get over the phone. Mm-hmm. And like I say, if I was talking to my dad, I never would have known anything's wrong. I went to his house, and, you know, he was the kind of guy where if it's snowing, he's going to go out there and he's going to shovel the walk when it starts snowing, shovel the walk when it's halfway done snowing, and then shovel the walk when it's done snowing or the driveway.
Just like shoveling.
You just like getting jobs done.
He's our kind of guy.
Yeah.
Shoveling.
And, you know, I went, the first time I really realized something was wrong, I went over there, and it probably hadn't snowed in at least a week, and he had done about a third of the driveway.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, this is not right. And I said, what's going on? And he sounded fine. And he said, well, I'm just getting really tired. So I'm shoveling, you know, 3 minutes at a time. And this is a guy who would be out there for 3 hours at a time if you had to get it done. So I knew something was wrong. And if I had just phoned him, no one would know that. If I was delivering his mail every day, I would have known, like, okay, first couple of days.
Known sooner.
First couple of days, okay, he's under the weather. 5, 6, 7 days, no, something is really wrong. You know, and could have been alerted. So obviously, nobody in the world would have an objection to this fine program. However,
it could have saved more people.
However, we went to the Saskatchewan Federation of Labor general meeting a few months ago now, I guess.
Yeah.
And we had resolutions on what we thought the Federation should be pushing the government for, or the Federation should be lobbying for. And this is one of the things that we thought would be a non-issue.
Yep.
Yep. Everybody's going to be supporting this. And
not true.
It was by far the most contentious issue at the conference.
The nurses were very offended by the concept of us doing anything resembling their work.
Right. And they took it as unionized postal workers attacking the jobs of unionized healthcare workers, saying, well, we're one union fighting against another, trying to take their jobs away. And we tried to explain that we would be providing absolutely zero medical care,
right?
Just alerting people.
Yeah.
But there are similar systems in some reasons. It varies depending on where you are. Some of them are only for medical reasons, but some of them do basically the same type of thing. And I can see why they're encroaching. And it got a little bit emotional, especially on the nurse side. Most of the postal workers were just confused going in there thinking this is not going to be an issue. One of the things I was pointing out there is as postal workers, we're always aware of privatization and threats from the government and the private sector. But it's really, you know, every second government is a conservative government, and usually in their second term is when they attack us. So we're looking at, you know, every 10, 15 years, we start worrying about being attacked.
We're there.
Healthcare workers are worried about being attacked every single day. You know, in Saskatchewan, Alberta, that's Ontario, nice. Privatization is a constant lingering threat. They are slowly being privatized. They're starting with senior centers, healthcare. We have.
But it's not just privatization. They're being attacked on so many levels. I mean, like, there's the wage freezes, there's the overwork you know, because of a lack of staff or, you know, a lack of funding to get new people trained.
Yeah. So they're used to being attacked, and they're, because they are being attacked constantly, and you can't blame them for being a little defensive. And even though this isn't meant to overlap with them in any way, it's inevitable that it will somewhat. Because like I said, there are services that just stop in and have coffee and, you know, have a conversation to see how things are going and see what comes up, because you can't always get all the information from a 2-minute stop in.
Well, some of these services that we're talking about, they were provided by various other people, volunteers and community groups during the pandemic. Like, there were grocery delivery services. I don't know a lot of grocery stores that didn't start offering delivery service during the pandemic, because it was something that was in high demand and it was relatively easy to set up. And it got people to shop at your store versus the other store that didn't offer it. And maybe some of those programs are ending or have run out of funding or whatever, but a lot of those, there's all kinds of things that just spontaneously seem to start as soon as a whole bunch of people who were considered vulnerable started staying at home and avoiding being around other people. And they were delivering the medications and the foods and the COVID tests and the masks and the sanitizer and whatever people needed to make themselves feel safe and, you know, allow them to occasionally venture out if they needed to.
Another concern with this program, the idea with it, and just trying to be fair here, because as Posties, as the union obviously wants this program, we've been talking about it for a while, but there are drawbacks. I think we have to be realistic about it, especially in a province like Saskatchewan. If you talk to any nurses, the Saskatchewan government has done a good job of kind of controlling the media and controlling the message. But if you talk to any doctors or nurses in healthcare, it becomes very evident very quickly that the Saskatchewan government does not have a problem letting people die if it's politically convenient.
Yeah.
There's lots of things they could do about the healthcare system. They don't, and they just want to save some money and push privatization or whatever. That might anger a few people that I'm saying this, but it seems pretty obvious.
Yeah, well, it's hard to argue with it, you know.
So here's the thing, is if we have nurses making a good wage, spending real time with people, spending real investigations with them and providing health care with them, and the SAS government says, hey, we can cut this to a 5-minute postie worker or visit, call it good enough. It's not just a service for people wanting a little extra. It's how can we push people that need a lot more and squeeze them into this box? You know, someone might need a lot more help than this program is designed for. And I guarantee you that some governments will push people into the cheapest program possible, whether it's good or not. And you see this in healthcare all the time. Pushing people to private healthcare systems, knowing it's less efficient, knowing they don't have the same care, but it's the cheaper care.
Well, right? It doesn't cost them money because it's private.
Right. And, you know, they don't care if it's the best outcome. They care if it's the cheapest outcome. And for some things, a program like this and Posties is ideal. Some people just want a quick check-in. They don't want more than that. They want someone checking in really quickly, saying hi. They want a point of contact. And they don't want or even necessarily need help, but they want to know what's available if they do. That's the kind of thing where this is ideal, and that's where it's covering the masses.
Sense of security.
Yeah. They're not going to call a nurse and have the nursing check-in program come in. I forget what it's called now in Saskatchewan. But they're not going to call and book regular nurses to come in and check them. They might even feel that makes them old needing somebody. But if, you know, just somebody saying hi, in case they need it eventually, kind of like an insurance program as opposed to a medical program. There's lots of reasons someone might want a quick check-in.
You can get a public health nurse to come and check on you if you recently had a baby.
Yeah, for a lot of things. But there's different comfort levels. And someone, you know, having a friendly postal worker come and say hi as opposed to a medical professional coming because you need it, is a different mindset for people. So I think the post thing can be kind of like a mass program for people that don't really need medical stuff. And I could see the government saying, this person needs medical, but not as much as they think. So we're going to force them down to this range because it's cheaper.
Well, they're going to talk about those people who do visit the doctor just to get some attention and to talk to another human being. And they're going to say, oh, this is going to curb that because they're not going to go clog up the waiting room and drive down there and take up the doctor's time.
Quite a few years ago, I was talking to a nurse. I was in physio and there was a nurse in there with me. And she was telling me how she was in neonatal intensive care. And they came in and reevaluated the job. And when she was in, started in that department, they had to do a, I think it was like a 3-year internship and then be observed for another how long. And it took like 5 years of specialized training after becoming a registered nurse to become an intensive care nurse in this department. And they came in and said, no, actually, you don't need all this internship that's being double staffed. You don't need that. And you don't need to be an RN, you just need to have access to an RN. So LNs, licensed practical nurses, as opposed to registered nurses, can do this. Mm-hmm. And they took away 5 years of specialized training and then gave it to a lower job classification because it was cheaper. And these are sick babies in intensive care.
Ones that are that may or may not make it because they're really small or really early or whatever.
Yeah, so that's my biggest concern, is they will look at people that really need a higher level of service and say, you know what? Posties are cheaper.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, I think it would bring revenue in, and it would be good for a lot of people. And I think it would have a much wider appeal than the home nursing system. And a lot more people would want it for a lot more different reasons. But there is the problem of money. You know, money's the great evil in a lot of systems.
Yeah, and that's the other part of the government push towards privatization, is not only are you relieving yourself of the financial burden, you're relieving yourself of the ethical burden as well, because you can, you know, anything can happen and you're like, well, that's not us, we're not doing it, and you're not going to have to pay for whatever complaints or damages or people whose lives are lost because of it, because you've washed your hands of it, right.
And Canada Post, too, doesn't want any liability from this, too.
No, they
if
don't.
We go into a place where we're not qualified to be.
Yeah, they would not want us providing medical attention.
No, and we wouldn't want to, but somebody sees an emergency, they might feel obligated to.
Sure.
So, there's a lot of good things about this program. The big things is that it would have a much wider base and much more, a lot of easier access to people. It would be cheaper overall for the government where we do need it. But there are dangers. I don't want to take the one-sided argument just because we are posties.
We still have the widest delivery network. We go everywhere and, you know, we're already there.
The other thing, too, is if you're looking at especially in northern communities, there's places that, you know, a doctor comes by once or twice a year or not at all. You might have to go to the doctor, and a nurse might come by once every 2 months, but a postie is always there. So it would be really nice in those communities as kind of an intermediate.
Well, I'm just thinking, or they could train us as field medics, and there you go.
Yeah, we'd be field medics too. Well, that's something we definitely don't want.
Let's not do that.
But yeah, places with no access at all, and then we could go in, do some checks, and maybe say, hey, nurse, I know you're not supposed to be here for a month, but we really need someone here today, and they could, you know, change their schedule or fly somebody new in if they have to. But just to have more consistent check-ins in places where it's not otherwise possible, I think that would be the best place and most useful place to start this program.
I also find it interesting that, like, with modern technology, like, perhaps you could use like the virtual doctor thing where people would like have a meeting virtually with their doctor, and then the postal worker could deliver supplies for them to take samples, which could then be shipped back through Canada Post to the doctor for testing, right?
Yeah. Like,
I'm sure that a little bit of that already goes on with the current system, but...
So lots of creative ways this could be useful. I think, I'd say, isolated communities is the best place to start. That's where it's really needed and where we wouldn't be conflicting with healthcare. workers.
Places but again, where they're absent. Yeah.
Again, I keep saying starting, and healthcare workers would, of course, say, well, it's going to starting. Is it going to spread? So, again, I understand completely why there's opposition to it. When we saw it at the Federation of Labor there, I was initially surprised that there was opposition. But, yeah, when you hear the arguments, it makes sense, especially, again, when they're used to being attacked and constantly in fear of cuts. And these are people that, you know, base their whole career and their education around helping people and are constantly seeing their ability to do so restricted. Mm-hmm. Or eliminated, and
due to cuts.
Yeah, and going to work and seeing negative outcomes for their clients who they've trained to help, and to see a possibility where, you know, someone, you know, well-intended could make it worse. So is a reason for them to get defensive.
And it's a difficult struggle. I mean, like, they're put into these situations where they're trying to work miracles with, you know, limited resources, and then they're experiencing burnout and having some of their staff always missing, and so the other people are trying to make up the slack. I don't know if postal workers know about that at all. Mm-hmm. But other people trying to make up the slack, but there comes a point where you've worked so much overtime and pulled so many double shifts and all of this stuff that you're just like, I'm done, I can't do it, you know. And maybe even you're seeing that thing where certain people in your workplace are certain people are really good at doing certain tasks or keeping a certain thing on track or checking in with certain patients in a good way. And then if they're missing for a few days due to these stresses, does the work even get done, or does it all just kind of slide a little bit?
I do see a lot more good than harm coming from this program. Again, mostly because places where healthcare just doesn't have access, because it's more regular, it'd be daily, because a lot more people will be brought in. I think we would need some kind of mechanism to keep it separate, where there's a clearly defined threshold of where it's postal okay. workers as opposed to where it's medical staff. And the problem, again, is government greed and private not caring, and then working with the government to take over jobs where that line could shift, and we'd have to have real protections to keep that line from shifting.
You're saying things like, we're not diagnosing, we're not administering medications, we're not performing.
Well, we're not moving anywhere
procedure
beyond check-in, and we're not taking work away from others.
Maybe it comes down to, we're not going in the house. The most we're doing is setting a box in the door, like we would do as we do now.
Well,
right?
Yeah, or a 3-minute conversation or whatever at the door.
Well, yeah, we have lots of 3-minute conversations at the door. They're just not this focused.
I know on the surface, it seems like a very simple thing. Give us a 5-minute time value to mm-hmm. stop and say hi to somebody and alert proper people if needed. In reality, there is a lot of complications. There's a lot of moving pieces here that we have to be aware of. I hope it's something that Canada Post takes seriously at some point. And has the conversations with the, you know, other healthcare unions, the politicians, whoever else you need to make it work. And we can eventually work out some of those to the benefit of both healthcare, postal workers, and even the government, I suppose.
Well, it's true that, like, if we can come to some kind of well-defined system or program, then in theory we should be able to work collaboratively with these other unions or with the government and make sure that all of the needs are met, rather mm-hmm. than just some of the needs being met by this group and some of the needs being met by that group, and even making sure that they're not counteracting the effects of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if we're delivering these people pizza and they're supposed to be on a low grease diet, then maybe that's not productive, right?
Yeah. I'm sure when we started this podcast today, there's a lot of listeners who right away thought, well, this is going to be a very simple, straightforward, quick issue, and it's an obvious that we should be doing this.
Well, I'm 100% behind the concept. It's just, yeah, you're right, it's complicated.
So, and yeah, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns on how you think this might work or how it could work, please let us know. overburdenedpod@gmail.com. We know people, we can always pass this up the chain to if you have any brilliant insight. See where that goes and come back and talk to you again in another 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening.